Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 22 to 27. Our subject for tonight is the blessing of God. Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. This is the word of the Lord to you, His people. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do come tonight, Lord, seeking Your blessing. Seeking You, Lord, to do these things that we have even just read about. To keep us. To make Your face shine upon us and to give us peace. Father, we know that these are promises from Your Word. So we pray, Father, that You give us greater understanding that we might respond properly to these blessings. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you look in your bulletin tonight, like every day that's probably in your bulletin, at the end there you're going to see that word benediction. Now, I don't know if it's the case here, but I do know that if you were to go to many churches and ask them, or let's say a visitor came and they said to you, "What's this word benediction?" That's not a word that we use very often. Some people have different ideas of what the benediction might be. Some people think, well, that's the end of the service. Or that's the final prayer that ends the service. But hopefully, you, I hope, and if you don't now, but you will after this sermon, that you would say, that means the blessing of God. That is the blessing of God. But that's not the most important thing for you to know. It's not the most important thing for you to know is not that this word means blessing. The most important thing for you to know about this blessing is what it really is, who it comes from, who it is for, and how are you to respond to it? Because it is real, and it calls for a response. And since it is something that we do as part of our worship, we should know why we do it and why it is significant to you, God's people. Years ago, I worked at an electric utility company. And each summer, the young adults, the college students of the employees, were hired for the summer. And one summer, one college student who I got to know in our work area, and he knew that I was a Christian and I had shared the gospel with him. He did not become a Christian as far as I know. In fact, he claimed still to be an atheist last time I heard. But he came up to me one day because he was getting ready to go on a Friday night to a rock concert. And at this rock concert, he wanted to walk around and say to people, "Bless you. Bless you. Bless you." And so he asked me if that would be okay, as if it mattered what I thought. He did. But he said, "Would it be okay if I go around and bless people?" And I said to him, "What are you going to bless them with? What authority or what power do you have to benefit or bless their life?" He goes, "Well, nothing really. I just want to say, bless you. Bless you. Bless you." And I said to him, "Certainly, you can say that. But it has no significance whatsoever. It makes no difference in the world to them whether you say it or not." Sometimes we use the words, "God bless you," in different ways. Sometimes we use the words, "bless you." And at times they are appropriate. And at times, both we and the person hearing it understand what we're saying. We truly want God to do something good for them. But just because we say that doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's not the same as what we read here in Numbers chapter 6. Because what is said here in Numbers chapter 6 is going to happen. It is God's promise. that He is going to bless you. And that is significantly different. And when it happens in worship, the blessing is important and it is relevant and you need it. You need it. And why do you need it? Because you need to be encouraged. You need to be strengthened. You need to be comforted. And you need to know that the God who says He is your God is caring for you. Just imagine the moment that you don't have that knowledge. The moment that you think that God does not care. You don't have comfort. You don't have strength. You don't have encouragement. What you have in that moment is despair. And God says here in Numbers chapter 6, this is how you are to bless them. What I want to do tonight, and don't let this alarm you, but what I want to do tonight in preaching this passage to you is do it in the form of 5 questions. And so I'm going to ask 5 questions and explain the answer. And this is how we're going to work through this passage. First question then is, what is the benediction? And I would say to you that the benediction, for one, is real and full of power. God does not just throw out words, empty, vain words that have no meaning. God, when He says something, His word goes out and accomplishes His purpose. And so the benediction is a pronouncement. It is not a prayer as a request from God. Nor is it an announcement. It is a pronouncement. An announcement is when somebody announces some information. So if I were to come here tonight and I would say, hey, when you leave here tonight, do not take a particular route because that route is closed. That's an announcement. The difference is in a pronouncement that it is authoritative and formal. It carries with it the power to perform what is being declared. That's a pronouncement. Such as if a ruler who had the power to do something or a king who had the power to do something pronounced that I am going to do this. He has the power to do it. He is able to do it. It's not just an announcement, but it comes with the power to do it. And so it is with the benediction. It is from God directly. And because it comes from God, it is a blessing that is certain to be carried out. Well, I don't think that the church, for the most part, looks at it that way. Unfortunately, for the most part, the church sees the blessing as a formal announcement. That this is how we do things, this is how we end the service. And so there's not a lot of value placed on the blessing. But we have to remember exactly what did God say in the last part of this passage here. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. This is the way you shall bless them. And then God gives them the words to say because this is the way that God acts towards His people. And so one of the follow-up questions then is, to what then is the benediction? Is do you value the benediction? You know how you can tell if you value the benediction? Is how you respond to it. As one who gives this pronouncement, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, I often see people response like this. Did the preacher make it in time? Did he get done in time? The service is over? So I'm checking my watch to see if he made it in time. Do you value the benediction? Because it is something you should be coming for. A pronounced blessing upon you, God's people. Preachers know that oftentimes the value of the worship service is hinged upon how well the preacher preaches. Or how well he meets a felt need in your life. And if the preacher preaches well, then the worship service was good. But if the preaching was not well, if it was not good, or if it was If it was too long, then maybe the worship service was not so good. Well, the preacher is a human being, and not every preacher hits it out of the ballpark every time he comes to preach the Word of God. Even if he's being truthful, sometimes he can be doing it in a way that doesn't lead the people to understand as much as they should. But that should not be what makes the worship service a worship service, good or bad. While the preacher may fail occasionally, and hopefully not too often, if the preacher gives a scriptural benediction, there will be no failure in the blessing. There'll be no failure. Because though it is the preacher who is voicing it, it comes directly from God. And it is a success every time. Your most important need, whether you realize it or not, is God's grace, His love, and His peace to be applied to you in Christ. And that's what happens in the benediction, in the blessing. That's what's being pronounced. That's what happens in the blessing here given in Numbers and also in 2 Corinthians 13 that I used this morning when I said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's what was going on there. Now this may seem like an odd question. This is still a follow-up question to what then is the benediction. But here's my question to you personally, church, tonight. Do you want the blessing of God in your life? Now who would say no to that? Nobody in their right mind would externally say no to that. But not everyone does. For some things, the things of the world are enough. A pronouncement from God that He is going to bless you doesn't, for some people, doesn't even compare to the blessings they think they want from God. This blessing from God that we read here in Numbers chapter 6 is exactly what you need, and it is all that you need. It is the way that God is telling you He's going to care for you. It is the way that God is telling you, for those who have My name, this is what I promise. And that is what you need. So the question is, do you want this blessing from God? Do you want it like the Queen of Sheba wanted the wisdom of Solomon? And do you want it like Naaman wanted the healing from leprosy? And do you want it like Jacob wanted God to bless him when he wrestled with God and would not let Him go until He blessed him? That's somebody who understands having the blessing of God on their life. The blessing is real and it is full of power. The next question we should ask is, who is this God who gives this blessing? Now notice in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, that is the blessing that is stated there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. You notice how that is written. There are three phrases in pairs. Each one starts out with the name of the person who is doing the blessing. And it is the Lord. It's not the priest. It's not the preacher. It is the Lord. This blessing comes from the Lord. And you know what this word Lord means. It is that covenant name of Jehovah God, indicating that He is in a covenant relationship with the people that He is talking to. But also notice it is a triune blessing. It is a three-part blessing. And we could say a three-in-one blessing. There are not three blessings here. There is one blessing consisting of three parts. Just as God is triune, one God in three persons. Very similar to this blessing, which shows us that this is the whole Trinity. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here who is involved in this blessing. And that's why I brought up to you 2 Corinthians 13:14. What does Paul do in that blessing there? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice that Paul is saying the triune God be with you and carry out these great blessings towards you. And this means that God carries out His blessings towards us in who He is. He is one God in three persons, always has been, and so He is as He works to bless us. All three persons of the Godhead are working together to carry out this blessing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is reflected in what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And then later on in that chapter, he goes on to talk about God's love, who He has elected us and adopted us by that love. It is in the grace of God in Christ that He has redeemed us, and that He guarantees our salvation through the giving of the Holy Spirit. This is what God does for us in His blessing. So we see it is in Christ that we see all the spiritual blessings coming to us from God in three persons. And now we're going to look at this blessing a little bit. As we look at the blessings of number six, we can see that they correspond to who God is in His three persons. And this is not to say that they don't do all this together. But it is very interesting to see that there is a corresponding nature to each phrase in this blessing to each person of the Trinity. It doesn't mean that they don't work together and overlap in all these things. But I want you to see something interesting here. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, "The Lord bless you and keep you." The first part of this blessing declares that God will keep us, and this means to guard us and to keep watch over us. And Jesus prayed this to the Father in John 17, 9-11, asking Him to keep all those whom He had given to Him. What is promised here, Jesus is praying for, that God the Father would keep all those whom He had given Him, and that He would lose none of them. And so God keeps us, keeps those whom He has elected, keeps us from the evil one, keeps us from condemnation and damnation, keeps us from eternal hell, and keeps us to Himself as His children. And this is the blessing of eternal preservation. The Lord bless you and keep you. Do you need that blessing? Amen. You need that blessing. In John 18, 9, Jesus also mentioned that He had lost none of those whom God had given Him, except that one who was foretold by the Scriptures who would betray Him. But all those whom God had elected, all those whom God had given Him, God was keeping according to this blessing. In verse 25 of number 6, the second blessing declares that God will make His face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. This is to say He will face us. He will look at us. And He will not turn His back on us. He will show His face to us, which is another way of saying, "I favor you. I look upon you with favor." And God the Son is the person of the Godhead in whom we see the face of God. Gracious to us as He shows favor to us by shedding His blood for us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Scripture says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In Jesus Christ, we have been shown the favor of God. In Jesus Christ, God takes His face and He looks at us with favor and shows us grace. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3-6, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." In Jesus Christ, we have the image of God shining on us. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When God looks at you with favor, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. When God is gracious to you, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where we see the grace of God. When Jesus was on the cross and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was then that God was turning His face away from Christ. Not showing favor to Christ, but showing favor to you. The moment God turned His face away from Christ, it was so He could be gracious to you, His people, and save you through the Lord Jesus Christ. The equivalent of God shining His face upon someone is the same as to say, show mercy and grace to that person. And through Jesus Christ, He has lavished upon us His grace. So it is in Christ that God has shown His face to us and has been gracious to us to save us. The third part of the blessing is that the Lord, in verse 26, will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The word countenance is the same exact word in the Hebrew language that is used for face. In this case, it is the Lord's lifting up His countenance, His face upon you, the way in which He looks at His people that gives them peace. Sometimes parents can communicate to their children without saying a word, right? Just in the way that we look at them. And that's unfortunate. In some regards, it's unfortunate because our children can see the displeasure, the hot displeasure in our faces. But so can they also see the joy in our faces when we look at them in the right way. And here we have God looking at us in the right way. And it is through His Holy Spirit that He gives us this peace. Jesus said in John 14, verses 16 to 18, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How did Jesus not leave us as orphans? How did He come to us? But through His Holy Spirit. And does that not give us peace? Jesus was speaking specifically here to His disciples of that moment. And He had told them that He was going away. And that they could not come with Him. And that they would also suffer persecution for His sake. But He was giving them comfort and encouraging words and telling them, I'm not going to leave you alone like somebody whose parents have died and will never come back. I'm going to be with you. I'm sending you another helper, the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And that gives us peace. Through Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, we know peace, having been reconciled to God. Peace with God and peace with each other as we are united to each other in Jesus Christ. And you know what is the opposite of peace? It is fear. It is fear. And that's what Jesus was trying to take away from those disciples when He was about to leave. Fear that they would be alone. Paul tells us in Romans, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And doesn't that give you peace? To know that you are the children of God, does that not bring you peace? And this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. To have peace with God is to know that you are His child, to know that by the Holy Spirit of adoption that you can cry out to your Father and He will be there for you. It is the Spirit of God that gives us that peace. Jesus also said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And you know when He said that? After He promised the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled. God gives you peace. And this peace is a whole trusting and resting in God for all things. For our life, for our salvation, for our temporal needs, for our spiritual needs, for our children's souls, for our parents, our spouses, our future spouses. For everything, for all of life, and even in death, we can have peace because God has promised to bless us with it. Who do these blessings come from that we read in Numbers chapter 6? From the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. Well, to whom do these blessings then flow? That's the next question. To whom do these blessings flow? And notice we have the answer in verses 23 and 27. In verse 23, God says, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." And in verse 27, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." The people who receive these blessings are the children of Israel. And the church is the Israel of God, as Paul tells us in Galatians. Here he's speaking pointedly and directly to the children of Israel, that nation. But the nation of Israel was never to be just the people of God. It was never to be contained in just this ethnic nation. The people of Israel are the people of God, and this is to whom these blessings flow. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, when Paul gives that blessing there, he is speaking to the church in Corinth when he pronounces that blessing, talking about the grace and the love and the communion of the Holy Spirit being with you all. So God's blessings are particularly and distinctly for you, His people. Someone might say, well, other people get blessed. Other people have success. And surely God does bless people in a sense who are not His people. And some call this common grace. For they do have success in their life. They get to have children. They prosper. They have success in their careers. Their crops grow. It rains on the just as it does on the unjust. In this sense, yes, they are blessed by God. They get to live, though they shouldn't, because they are sinners. But the blessing we're talking about here in Numbers chapter 7 and first and in the book of Corinthians is a covenantal blessing. It is a blessing based on a relationship between a people and a God, Jehovah, their Redeemer. See, in this blessing in Numbers chapter 6 is a promise of security and grace and peace. The unbelieving world does not have a promise of security, of God's grace, and God's peace. They have just the opposite. They have a promise of God's wrath. You have a promise and a blessing of security. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will be gracious to you. And the Lord will give you peace. And so it is this blessing that God says it is for the children of Israel. It is for His people and His people alone. You see, it is they who are the ones who have His name put upon them. By blessing them in this way, the Lord says, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel." In other words, the Lord says, "This blessing is for my family. This blessing of security, of grace and peace is for those who know me in a covenantal relationship way, who know me by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the ones who have His name put on them." When Jesus said to the disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. When that person is baptized, a name is put on them, and it's the name of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's only to these people to whom these blessings flow. If you have the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost upon you by faith in Christ alone, then these blessings of security and grace and peace are for you. And just as Jesus commissioned those apostles to go forth and make disciples of all nations, He also gave them the duty of pronouncing this blessing, which is the next question that we will answer. Who pronounces this blessing from God? In the Old Testament times, it was given to the priest, just as we see here in Numbers chapter 26. This was also recorded in Leviticus 9, 22 and 23. When Aaron lifted his hand toward the people and blessed them. Verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. But who gives this blessing in New Testament times? Who gives this blessing to the people of God in our day today? Well, in New Testament times, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 24, verses 50 to 53, before Jesus ascended to the Father, the Scripture says this, and He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while He blessed them, that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Jesus is the only high priest we have today. We learned that this morning, right? He is the great high priest. No other priesthood compares to Him. He is a priest forever. But the Bible was not only saying He is a priest forever, it was also saying He is the only priest. He is the only priest of the Most High God forever. And so it was perfectly appropriate for Jesus to raise His hands and bless the people. And while there are no priestly offices today, including the apostles, they were not priests either. There are men who are called to declare and preach God's Word today. So the blessing is a declaration of God's Word. It is His truth, and it falls to those whom God has called to minister His Word to His people to pronounce this blessing. We, those who have been called and ordained to gospel ministry, do not just do this on our own, but we have been given the duty and the calling to proclaim the Word of God, and the blessing is just that. It is the Word of God pronouncing a blessing for His people. Oftentimes in the letters, in the epistles, in the New Testament, we see the apostles ending their letters with a blessing. And we see that in various letters. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 21 is one of those blessings. It says this, "Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." And so as the ministry of the Word was in the calling of the apostles, and as it is in the calling of the elders of the church today to extend the teaching ministry of the apostles, it is the duty of those called to the gospel ministry to formally pronounce this blessing from God upon the people. And when we do it, it is not our blessing. It is not us blessing you. It is us pronouncing the very blessing of God upon His people. Which leads us to our last question and application. How do you respond to the blessing of God? How is the body of Christ to respond when they receive the blessing? You might think of this answer, you might look at this in the positive way of saying, well, how do you respond when anybody gives you a great gift? How do you respond then? With gratitude, with thankfulness, all kinds of things like that. But here's how what the response is not to be. As I mentioned earlier, it is not to be finally. It is not to be, oh, it's time to go home. It's not to be, when we're finally done. I want to take you back to what I read to you earlier when Jesus blessed the people before He left them. I don't know if you noticed it as I read it, but in there was a response to Jesus blessing them. And it says this, "And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." What a response to the blessing of God. What a response to hearing that God is going to keep you, God is going to be gracious to you, and God is going to give you His peace. They didn't stop worshiping Him at this moment. They went back to their homes with great joy and kept going back to the temple, praising and blessing God. These disciples were about to be sent out to go and change the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. A world filled with opposition to Christ, and they needed this blessing. And the question is, do you think you need this blessing? Because if you believe you need it, you will hunger for it. And when you come to the worship service of God, you will be crying out to the Lord, "Bless me, bless your church." And when you hear the pronouncement of the blessing of God, it will not be one of exasperation, but one of joy and one of anticipating the opportunity to leave this place with joy and to come back praising God and worshiping Him. Because all that time between the last time and the time you come back to worship God, He has kept you. He has been gracious to you and He has given you His peace. That's the blessing of God. You should come to the worship service looking to praise God, looking to hear a great preaching of God's Word. But you should also be hungry for God to bless you. Because it's real. And it's powerful. And it is exactly what you need. And how you respond to this blessing, even tonight as I pronounce it to you, how you respond to it indicates where your heart is at. Do you desire God to bless you? Or are you okay with the things of this world? Or do you really want God to keep you, to give you grace through Jesus Christ, and to give you His peace? Because if that's what you want, then come times toward the end of the service when that blessing is pronounced, you will be hungry for it. And you will be believing it. And you will be leaving here with joy. That is how we are to respond to the blessing of God. With faith. Believing that what is pronounced to you is real, is powerful, and is God's promise to you to be your God and for you to be His people. Because each Lord's Day when we leave here, we go out to face this world with our faith, with our obedience and witness. And because we face an opposing world and an evil world and face sin, we need the sure blessing of God upon our lives to keep us, to be gracious to us, and to give us peace. And just as God told Moses in verse 27, the very last part, "And I will bless them." That is a sure and certain promise. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will keep you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. The question is, how will you receive it? As the final prayer? As the end of the service? Or will you receive it with joy? And will you claim it to be your own because you are the people of God? And He has said, "This is how you shall put My name on them, and I will bless them." And it is my hope and prayer that you never look at the blessing of God at the end of a service the same way again, but that you will see it as being real, and you will see it as something that just as much as a hungry person needs food, you need the blessing of God upon your life. Will you see it that way? Will you receive it that way? And will you leave this place with joy? Because you have received the blessing of God. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are so weak, Lord, each and every one of us. And Lord, we are so distracted and so tempted to think that there are greater blessings in the world than there are with you. And it is our fervent prayer, Lord, that you by your Holy Spirit would make that change in our hearts, that there is no greater blessing and no greater desire in our hearts than to be blessed by our God. And we ask, Lord, that you would do that work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.